Attack of the killer tomatoes. Attack of the killer tomatoes. They'll beat you, bash you, squish you, mash you, chew you up for brunch, and finish you off for dinner or lunch. They're marching down the halls. They're crawling up the walls.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Winona Horter, who is the Executive Director of Food and Water Watch, a DC-based watchdog organization focused on corporate and government accountability relating to food, water, and common resources. She has worked and written extensively on food, water, energy, and environmental issues, and owns a working farm in Virginia. Her new book is Foodopoly, The Battle Over the Future of Food and Farming in America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Winona Horter.
I'm so glad to be here.
And Winona, we know that, of course, recently there was passed by the Senate, by the House, the so-called Monsanto Protection Act that was inserted as a rider into the continuing resolution to keep the government funded. And that shows you the extraordinary power of these big agribusiness companies. Today, Senator Barbara Boxer and Representative Peter DeFazio introduced a new bill that would require the labeling of GMOs, the Genetically Engineered Food Right to Know Act, which has 20 sponsors. And this, of course, after the Proposition 37 was defeated here in the state by massive infusions of money from the Monsantos, etc. What's your a sense of one? I guess the good news is that the continuing resolution ends in what, 5 months' time. So, being Monsanto's immunity from any lawsuits will be over then, right?
Well, that's right. Now, the problem is that the way the dysfunctional Congress has been operating, these budget bills don't end when they're supposed to, which in this case would be the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. They tend to have a longer life. And, this inclusion of the rider in the budget bill, I think, does really demonstrate the power of Monsanto and the biotech industry. You know, we took a look at how much they have spent on campaign contributions and lobbying over a 10-year period. This is Monsanto and the other biotech companies. They spent $572 million. They hired 13 former members of Congress, 300 former staffers for Congress and for the White House, and they have about 100 lobby shops in Washington. So I don't think that there's any accident that when they want something, they can waltz into congressional offices and write this kind of outrageous rider.
And, of course, if Monsanto has that kind of clout, presumably Cargill, Tyson, Kraft, and ConAgra also do.
Well, that's really what I found in writing my book, Foodopoly, is that we have a handful of food companies that have so much political and economic power that they basically dictate all of the policies regarding food and farming. And this power and consolidation really has its roots in the Reagan administration, where our protective antitrust laws were eviscerated. And since that time, we've seen food companies, and for that matter, every other type of industry, be able to concentrate and consolidate in the hands of just a few companies for each industry.
And Winona Horter, my understanding is that it's not just these powerful agribusiness corporate monopolies that are basically corporatizing our food. But what is also happening is that there's a commodification going on of food itself through the commodities trading on Wall Street. where you have this anomaly that you, I think it was 2008, we had a record global harvest of wheat, yet the price of wheat went up, and in many ways, the fact that a lot of countries couldn't afford the prices led to the riots that led to the Arab Spring. So, you know, you have it just shows you how much money is being extracted for no good use, except to make Wall Street speculators rich, at the expense of people trying to put food on the table.
Yeah, you know, that's so true. Food is no longer something that nourishes. Food is looked at as money. And the deregulation that took place in the 1980s and in the 1990s that has allowed this kind of speculative behavior is, you know, it's really outrageous, and it is leading people to starve. And it is responsible in that period that you spoke of 2007-2008, to 200 million people being hungry. Even though there were plenty of grains, they just were being speculated upon. And the U.S. is the leader, is looked to as the price setter for grains in the world. And so when there's speculation here, it leads to high prices everywhere.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Winona Horta, who is the Executive Director of Food and Water Watch, and she has worked and written extensively on food, water, energy, and environmental issues, and owns a working farm. Her new book is Foodopoly, The Battle Over the Future of Food and Farming. We did some coverage yesterday, Winona, on the European Commission banning a group of insecticides, pesticides, and neonicotinoids. Also, we did some coverage on a study at MIT on Monsanto's Roundup is perhaps contributing to cancers and Parkinson's disease in human beings. Today, we learn that Turkey is now banning the importation of 26 genetically modified organisms. So there seems to be some pushback happening around the world, although, as I mentioned earlier, here in the state of California, the proposition to force the labeling of genetically engineered foods was defeated, even though today Senator Boxer and Representative DeFazio introduced a bill into the House and Senate.
Well, you know, I think that the biotech industry with Monsanto in the lead and the food processors, the money that they spent in California is actually backfiring on them. People were watching from around the U.S. to see what would happen with the GE labeling initiative. And when it failed, there is so much anger around the country that there are now campaigns in more than 30 states to label genetically engineered food. It's one of the most exciting grassroots movements that I've seen in many years. And there's been legislation introduced in places like Iowa, Michigan, Connecticut, New Mexico. Now, I don't expect that these bills will pass the first time around, but the fact that people are actually working to get legislation introduced means that eventually it will happen in a couple of states. Maybe in Washington state there's an initiative that actually has a pretty good chance of passing this fall. And that will prompt federal action. And so it's exciting to see activists across the country organizing, because when the feds step in, we will need to organize to make sure that we actually get meaningful labeling for genetically engineered food. And I think what's happened is people are just fed up, especially now that we are seeing more than the ingredients to junk food genetically engineered. We saw sweet corn this last year, and we're very concerned about the legalization of genetically engineered salmon. The FDA has just received almost 2 million comments from people saying don't do it, but we're concerned that the biotech industry has a lot of power with the FDA.
Well, I also did some coverage recently, Winona, on how Monsanto has been suppressing research into the effects of feeding GMO organisms like wheat and soy to rats who develop tumors, etc. And they're very proactive in this. So there is a good reason, I think, for the public to be skeptical about these foods, simply because not enough research is being done into them, and Monsanto is preventing a lot of the research. So what is motivating this kind of juggernaut to force this stuff on us without us really knowing exactly what the long-term consequences will be? How do they rationalize
it? I think that when you look at the type of company that Monsanto is and actually look at its history, I mean, Monsanto is a company that made PCBs, one of the most toxic chemicals known to humans. We still have PCBs in our tissues. And they were also responsible for manufacturing components of Agent Orange, another very dangerous chemical. They've been involved in hundreds and hundreds of different lawsuits. And so they tried to recreate themselves as what they call a life sciences company. I think you might call it a death sciences company. And they are using their economic and political power to try to force this literally down the throats of people around the world. And I think that the fight back that we're seeing is coming at a really good time before we get a lot more foods entered into our diet that are genetically engineered, because there are all sorts of plants that they want to genetically engineer that are in the pipeline. And so it's really important that we stop this, because as you mentioned, there is no long-term research on the effects of eating these foods. And, you know, I think when you look at the amount of power that a handful of companies have over seeds, and seeds are, of course, life, that this is not something that we can support, this kind of consolidation for where a few companies really control and are raising the price of seeds and completely changing the genetics that life is dependent on.
Well, just in the last minute, Winona Harder, since you're an organic farmer and clearly the family farm, as your book indicates, is a myth. It's now corporate agribusiness dominates. We need to, as you point out in your book, a complete structural shift with a new grassroots movement. And I guess that's the way that's the best way to fight back, isn't it? For everybody to simply boycott corporate food. And can grow their own.
It is. We need to fight back. We need to not shop and buy these items, but we also need a political fight back. And so I encourage everyone to go to our website, foodandwaterwatch.org. We have many ways that people can get involved politically. And I really wrote Foodopoly as a call to action. We need to vote with our fork. We need to vote with our vote. And then we need to hold these people accountable, because the U.S. has such an impact not only on people in this country, but people around the world.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Winona Ryder, again, the Executive Director of Food and Water Watch. She has worked and written extensively on food, water, energy, and environmental issues, and owns a working farm in Virginia. Her new book is Foodopoly, The Battle Over the Future of Food and Farming in America. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Nick Guarino. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The headline.
my happiness.